in my secular, believer, unbeliever, atheist, we're all there. Everybody is, I'm the president. You know, it's the same thing that we used to find out. They just say, what are you doing now? Some guys now stop coming because they say, I don't want to go there now. I don't have a car. I don't want this zone. And you know, and I discovered that it was the same thing we were doing in the two societies. The only difference was that we would hypocritically say it is well. In the Christian side, it is where it's like, oh. It's where it's like, no, that is, that it's where like, it's where. I was like, I see your life. You know? So, it was about the same thing. You know? And that results orientation that we have, material thing, you know, how well are you doing, you know, where are you, what do you do, and all that. But God's word is not like that. Praise God. See, the Bible says if we glory only in the Lord. So, the focus of these things should be Jesus. I know why I'm saying this, because I started counseling marriage like 21 years ago. That's too far. Right? I was not close to marriage then. And in talking to many couples, even up till today, okay, everybody just forgets Jesus. It's just like, look, another thing. You just talk about it. I cannot. None of you has mentioned the Lord. Then you look like you are being hyper-spiritual. You've not mentioned the Lord here. I'm not doing a general counseling for you. I'm talking from God's word. Once I told one lady, I said, do you actually expect me to ask you to divorce? She said, she looked at me like this. Do you expect me to tell you to do it? I said, but sir, looking at Sakura, the Bible says, we believers, we should strive for peace, not for division. No, you see, I know some of you, you know, sorry, are taking this meeting a little bit unserious, because it's not about, law in Genesis or law in Exodus, you know. And the funny thing is that you prefer to read Linda Ikeji. It's funny. You know, we seem to be more at home. Linda is a wonderful woman. You know, she has made money. You know. But you know, you just read stories, go on Facebook, you know, say, this is my own opinion. You know. A pastor recently talked about how you marry a woman that pays 1 hour and cooks. And everybody started raking. And I asked someone, I said, why were you raking? He said, it's wrong. I said, what exactly is wrong? How can he give the law? I said, relax. Do you cook? No, but I'm not born to cook. I'm not anybody's slave. I said, did the man say you should be anybody's slave? I said, hey, the most important one. Do you pray? I said, I pray, but there's no Bible for 1 hour. I said, that's really your problem. 1 hour. That's why you fought this much. I said, I watched you on Facebook argue on someone's wall. You were there for over 1 hour. So 1 hour is not the problem. Because you were arguing for 1 hour. Is that you cannot discern the value of praying for 1 hour. Praise God. I say if you like, stop praying. If you like,
Eh? You and your husband. Go and take shares in Mr. Biggs. Morning, afternoon, evening. Do nothing in the morning. Meet by in the afternoon. See you at night. There's nobody. I said, apart from that, did the man call your name? You know, there's something about sin consciousness. Did he mention your name? Did he write to you? You know? But you can see that the way the person just saw about it was on a secular level. Everybody was talking, believers, non-believers. I said, what does the Bible say? Praise God. We're not allowed to. You know, at the end of the day, it's going to be about Jesus. Hallelujah. It's not about you. I'm saying marriage eventually is not about you. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, do you know Jesus was asking questions generally about relationships? And that's the way we're going to look at it. Tomorrow we'll look at some specific things. I just want to lay good foundation today. So we'll look at specific things tomorrow. And it will, you discover, I'm going to show you now, that many of the marital issues that were discussed extensively were answers to questions. You know why I said that? So that you can ask questions. Ask questions. Hallelujah. Now, look at Matthew 19. Sometimes I thank God for Pharisees. As bad as they look, their questions helped us see a couple of things. May God bless us with more hypocrisy. You didn't say amen. Are you one? The Pharisees also, verse 3, came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read? Now, so they asked a question about marriage. That can a man put away his wife for every cause? Then he says, have you not read? That he which made them at the beginning, made them male and female. This is clear enough, I think. There is no exegesis about this, male and female. I think male and female are not yet debatable issues so far. I don't think anybody is claiming female. Anybody is claiming male. I think they are just obvious facts. I mean, I just want to be clear because these days, you know, my son asked me, he said, we commented on something that was on TV, all this LGBT stuff. So he said, that was gay. He asked the question, I forgot the question. And I said, they are gay. He said, what are they? I said, well, there are two. The sister was also there. Don't say, shut up, if I hear you say it again, we'll talk about that more. If I say, that's how our friends put us up. So you all keep quiet and go and ask your house girl. Is that how we did it? He said, hey, that, and the house girl will teach you nonsense. You know. So, and I said, well, a gay is when a woman and a woman, when they are husband and wife. I didn't call it demonic. So I think the sister now said, huh? She has a very funny way of looking like, seriously? I said, yeah. Now, I said, well, how are they going to have kids? I said, that's the confusion. Then he said, you must be crazy. I didn't say anything. I said, I think so too. So I walked away. But of course, it's not illogical. How are they going to, what's the point? I mean, so I think at this age, you understand how to have kids. I hope you get the point. Okay. That's really where I was going to. Alright. So, you know, yeah, my mother would have said, very funny things and, you know, you leave the house in the morning, you leave me my cousins, you expect me to just know only what you teach me. How in the world is that possible? You know, and I was taught, you know, little didascalos by my cousins. So he says, you're male and female. I think that's sorted. So he says, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cling to his wife and the two shall be one flesh. We'll look at that. One flesh is always sexual union. Therefore, they are no more twin but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. So, Jesus taught from Genesis. And then, they now said to him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? So, there were two things that were addressed there. And we're going to look at it together. Maybe not today. That, okay, fine. You said this. But why was there a legalism about it? So you will always find, just like every scriptural subject, you will find a legalistic approach, and you will find the approach in the grace of God. Does that make sense? You will always find, you know, Jesus said there were two different positions in the scriptures about the same subject, just like marriage. The same way we have about prayer and everything. He says, there are two, they are one flesh. Let no man put asunder. Then, they now say, well, Moses said we should give a writing of divorcement and to put her away. Okay? So Jesus said, well, because of the hardness of your heart, Moses suffered you to put away your wives, and from the beginning it was not so. So Jesus made a clarity that from the beginning of God's plan and power, it wasn't so. But I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, commit adultery, and whosoever marries her which is put away, doth not commit. No, so Jesus has already said something. He has presented three things. If you look at it very well. He first of all mentioned Genesis. Then he mentioned what Moses said. Now what he said in verse 9 is explaining what Moses said. Because Jesus was ministering under the law. Galatians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4 says he was born under the law. You see that whatever he said here was different from what Paul said. We'll look at it tomorrow. So, you'll find a legalistic approach to marriage. Write a bill of divorcement. Legalism. Okay? Now, in chapter 23, another question was asked, you know, about marriage. A very funny question. They says, well, we say that there's no resurrection, and asked him, verse 24, say, Master, Moses said, so Moses comes up again. You know, the first time we read about marriage was about who? Moses. Okay. If a man died, having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Are you familiar with this? Huh? Even in our culture. So, we'll see the place of culture. Because I'm going to explain to you again that culture is man-made. Don't spiritualize culture. Culture is man-made. So he says, now here is with us seven brethren. This story is always funny when I read it. The first, when he had married the wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Then the second, the third, unto the seventh. I mean, that's really wicked. One single woman. The last of all, the woman died also. It had to happen. Therefore, in Nigeria, that's a divorce case. That's true. By the time you get the second one, first one, you'll have been given coconut water. By the first one, you have not even had children. Coconut water, all sorts of things. Those who don't want to look like other worshippers, will give you scriptures to be putting in food or something. Just confess it. As you are eating, just confess it so that, how can you marry to two people and no children? Lord is telling me that battle, it will be fought. Therefore, in the resurrection, it's so funny that there was a couple I was counseling. This is very crazy. They were looking for kids. They wanted to have children. So I now lectured the wife a couple of years back about ovulation. You were not taking note of that. I said, it's in the Bible. And that was how she became pregnant. After prayers. That's a miracle of common sense. So where were we? Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? These are idiots. See everything they are seeing about resurrection. You can't have better idiots than these guys. Then he said to them, you do err and know not the scriptures. I was right. You err and know not the scriptures, nor the power of God. I mean, twin issues that were their problem. The scriptures, the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. They are the angels of God in heaven. So that just, again, shows you that marriage is, it stops here on earth. It doesn't continue. Some of you are discouraged. It doesn't continue. It just stops here on earth. It's an earthly relationship because the fruit of it is earthly. So Jesus answered questions two times. We've seen it, and they asked him questions on marital relationships. Now look at 1 Corinthians 7, where we are going to have to stay for a while tomorrow. 1 Corinthians 7. Now, this church is so funny. The kind of questions they sent to Paul, it had nothing to do with things of the spirit. It was about food offered to idols and stuff like that. And then marriage. Now, concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Okay? Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Because he had discussed fornication in chapter 6. So he says, so when he says flee fornication, it didn't mean keep running on the road. The way to flee fornication is what he just said here. That making sense? 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18. He says flee fornication, then in 7:1, he says to avoid it, let every man have his own wife. So we'll examine that. Now, 1 Corinthians 11 also deals with it because he talks about Jesus, God, Christ, the man, and then the woman. Now, in that context, every time you mention woman and man, and then you talk about submission, it's always marriage. Always marriage. So, because there is no scripture for a man to have dominion over, to have authority over a woman based on gender. No, it's based on relationship. It's never a gender stuff. It's always relationship. So 1 Corinthians 11 as well deals with that. So, a clear teaching, interestingly, will be Ephesians. That is, this is not a question answered. This is just, because then in 1 Corinthians 7, there were issues he was resolving. But in Ephesians 5, he actually explains. He teaches. Clear teaching. In verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. This is a focus or a focused explanation. In the fear of God, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. I want you to notice how he explains it. He didn't say, because you are a Yoruba man, because you are an Igbo man, or Igbo woman. Say, as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. There's a way you can read African culture into this text. I'm the head. He said, as Christ is the head of the church and is the savior of the body. So are you a savior? Have you? Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. 25. That if you read that word everything, to mean everything, it simply means that, for example, you should not have first class and your husband makes 2-1. That's kind of funny, right? So that means everything doesn't mean everything. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay? Husband, love your wife even as Christ has also loved the church and give himself for her. So now, he has, in elaborating this, that means for me to understand this instruction, I must know about the relationship of Jesus and his church. Okay? That is how I will understand what Paul is teaching. This is, it's not a rule and regulation. Rather, it's an explanation to people who are in Christ. So he says, look at Jesus and his church. If you don't see that, then this information is not for you. Or it doesn't get to you. So look at Jesus and his church. Can you see it? Yes, I can. Say, well, that is a how you should relate with your husband. Oh, look at Jesus and his church. Can you see it? Yes, I can. That is how you should relate with your wife. Now, somebody is still struggling with whether his salvation is secure or not. This becomes a mysterion. Somebody who thinks that God is schizophrenia, in the morning is a God of judgment, in the afternoon is mercy, in the evening both together. This explanation will not make sense to him. I'm making sense here. Because he uses very specific terms. He says he's a savior. And he went further, and he now says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he may present it to himself a glorious church, and having spot, nor or wrinkle or any sort of thing, that should be holy and without blemish. You know? So men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever hates his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. So you see, he hasn't left the narrative. He kept saying the Lord and his church. He says, for we are the members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and his church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And the wife, she reverence her husband. So he deals with that. Teaching a relationship from your knowledge of your relationship with Jesus. So you would do a disservice to this apostolic explanation if you import African mentality in there. Because this did not, this instruction did not carry along the culture in Ephesus. That's why it is applicable to you. Because there were different kind of culture that abounded in those days. That there were different kind of stuff. There were different things that, you know, culture is always dynamic. But this instruction is not dynamic. It's revelatory. It just comes from what Jesus has done. So you can see that he's not teaching marriage. He's talking to the married in Christ. Because marriage is cultural. He's talking to the married in Christ. And so let me just explain this. In teaching in any meeting, maybe you are called to explain marriage, to talk to married couples, be careful not to start to teach marriage. Because marriage is cultural. What I will say in Yoruba, I can't say in Igbo land. I hope I'm making sense. I can't say the same thing in Hausa land. That's even in Nigeria. If I travel, you know, in different places, it will always differ. So, I must not be caught teaching marriage. I must be caught teaching the married in Christ. You know, if I want to, you know, my view of marriage today will always be colored by my background. Because what I understand by marriage, I either got it from my parents, their own siblings, my neighbors, based on my kind of exposure, you know. But this teaching is to the married in Christ. Colossians 3. Are you learning something? Colossians 3. Look at this. Colossians 3:18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. I say, you know, Paul kept using the word your own husband. So there is no unilateral submission. Universal submission. Okay? Husband, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents. We'll come to that. You know. So, again, he gives the same instruction. Now look at something and I want you to observe. I like this because we'll take it one by one tomorrow. He says husband, then wife. He treats that first and foremost. But you know that before he treats husband and wife, if you study your Bible very well, he first talks about believers to themselves. So there's a fundamental relationship you and your wife should have as believers, which supersedes marriage. There's a fundamental relationship you should first have. Look at it. I mean, I think we should examine it again. Before he mentions this instruction, he had talked, that's Colossians 3, he had talked about in 12, humility, forgiving one another, you know, as Christ above all, love, the peace of God you have been called into one body. He had already dealt with that. Then he talked about, you know, speaking to yourselves in something like spiritual songs, you know, building yourself and edifying yourself. He had mentioned that, then he now, you know, it's a letter, it's not written in chapters, so it's a letter. So in discussing relationship, he now begins to get specific. He had talked generally that as believers, that is on a general level, you and a believer must forbear one another. On a general level. Are you following what I'm saying? On a general level, you and a believer, you must submit to yourself in fear of the Lord. Then, he now goes to specifics. You see, if you don't understand the general instruction, the specifics will never be clear to you. In fact, let me say it like this. Look up. If we remove the instructions on marriage away, the ones he said about believers suffice. That is, they will be sufficient in your marriage. Now, that means that what he did was to apply the general principle to relationships. That you should forbear one another, you should forgive one another, you should submit to one another. They now specifies it. So, the general principle applies. Am I making any sense here? So, in as much as there's nothing called Christian marriage, forget all this church wedding we do, it's just something somebody created like 1,000 years ago. There was no marriage conducted in church meetings in the first 1,000 years of the church. All the white garments they wear was brought from one culture there. Let's leave that. But we have Christians in marriage. So the instructions were not for marriage. The instructions were for the married, who have a general instruction to believers, or teaching or explanation to believers, that we ought to honor one another, we ought to forgive one another, so on and so forth. So, he now breaks it down quickly. He mentions husband and wife. Then he mentions children and parents. Now, do you notice that when he was through talking about parents, he now started talking about fathers and sons. He doesn't talk about mothers. It was not an omission. In Ephesians 6:4, father and children. Colossians 3:21, fathers and children. And we'll find out why. Do you know that there is no instruction in scripture for in-laws? None. There's none. Praise God. That thou shalt teach your mother-in-law If for anything, it was to leave. There's no instruction on how to talk to in-laws. When you go to your in-laws' house, kneel down, remain there. You know, there's no such instruction. And we'll see why. Yeah. However, were in-laws recognized? Sure, they were. In Matthew's Gospel chapter 8, we have Peter's mother-in-law. You know, so that implied that it's either they stayed together, you know, Matthew's Gospel 8, verse, his wife's mother laid and she was sick in Peter's house. So the wife's mother was staying in his house. Matthew's Gospel 8 and 14. And Jesus ministered unto her. That's quite a nice in-law. That said, where did you bring this one from? You know, and then she was healed. So we have that. So she stayed in his house. We also have Paul's sister's son. Acts 23 verse 16. So Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, and he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. So that means they had a good relationship. So Peter and his mother-in-law had a good relationship. Paul and his sister's son. It was a very horrible uncle. You know, the opposite will have happened. He went to inform him of the kind of danger, you know. So Paul was the fellow's uncle, and he was his nephew. So again, we have no instructions, but we can perceive that they were good relationships. Who's following what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying? They were good relationships. They were kept. They were also at Barnabas. Barnabas and Mark. Mark, again, was his nephew. Colossians 4 and 10. I think, yeah. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, salutes you. And Marcos, sister's son to Barnabas. Okay? So, that's Barnabas' nephew. They work together in ministry, and so on and so forth. One that is not too funny, 1 Corinthians 5, his father's wife. That brother in Corinth that had his father's wife. We can't say that that was a cordial relationship. Right? That's an uncordial relationship. But again, that presents a picture to you that is either he was a stepmom whose father married after his mom died, or plain and simple, the father was a polygamist, and then he had women. So that means we had scenarios also that people had women, you know, who were like either their stepmom, or, I mean stepmom, yeah, it's a stepmom, but they live together, and so on and so forth. So, that means we have other relationships, you know, that were there, but somehow they were not rigidly discussed. So, it means a lot of things are left to our discretion. They were not, however, we can perceive that the people who had those relationships, Peter's case, Mark and Peter and his mother-in-law, Mark and Barnabas, Paul and his sister's son, obviously there was a semblance of good, healthy relationship. Let me see if I follow what I'm saying. Are you following what I'm saying here? Healthy. So it was healthy enough. So that means there are certain principles of scripture of nations that we're going to apply. Of course not today. But just so that the people who had those things mentioned, there was no evil mentioned amongst them. So it presupposes that you as a believer, you have a duty to maintain good relationships generally. When told whether Paul's sister was born again, we're not even told whether he's nephew was born again, but obviously there was a good relationship, you know, cordial enough. You know, because some of us, we think when you get born again, just fight everybody so that you can get to heaven quickly. You should be cordial. I tell people that you don't have an excuse to have a bad relationship habit. Christianity is about relationships. So, if you are not relating well, you are carnally minded, as it were. Christianity is about good relationships. There's nothing in Christianity that supports you having bad habits. You don't know how to greet. There's some people don't know how to greet people. They don't know how to, they can't be, they're not respectful. Praise God. There's nothing in Christianity that presupposes that kind of habit. Do you know, Jesus before Pilate spoke respectfully. Same thing as Paul. It's not, there's nothing that says, because the person is an unbeliever, he or she should not be respected. If anything at all, you have a bad habit. Are you following what I'm saying? So, just basic Christian relationship ethos, the culture of the Spirit, it disposes us to behave well. Even, pay attention, even to people that persecute us, what are we taught? We pray. Those who curse us, we do what? We bless them. Those who despitefully use us, those who hate us, we love them. That is the Christian life. Whether they are now in your household, whether they are now anywhere, you do not have a license not to be a Christian in relationships. Hallelujah. Am I making sense here? Okay. So I'm talking to believers, okay? And believers act on God's word. I'm talking to you, so we act on God's word. So we have good relationships. Hallelujah. You know, there was a wedding that was supposed to take place and was my brother-in-law. And so he married from a Muslim home. The wife is not a Muslim, but the parents are Muslims. So my father-in-law now called me and said, there's an issue. I said, what's the issue? That? He said they will do nikah. That in the car, I think we should pray about it. I just laughed. I said, leave the matter. That thing. What's the guy? Let's go and dance there. Let's respect them now. Marriage is not spiritual. So when I ask, what if is Ifa shrine? That's what I don't want to talk about. But some of you know my answer. Whatever is in your heart is your problem. The whole thing is not spiritual at all. So people now want to, as long as people in their way, they are not speaking in tongues. Calm down. How long are you going to speak in tongues? Are you not going for any more? What is the tongues for? To edify yourself so that you can. Guy, do wedding and get out of this. You're like saying you are playing football, you are speaking in tongues. You will lose. The tongues don't make you concentrate. Because you'll be defying yourself. You know, we can be punished. Have you seen some people have, they now are using Uzebo to preach? Is it that we lack sermon so much? That we're just waiting for the next thing that happens in the world? Say, grace for the race. Any event in the world becomes teaching. Say, somebody failed. I saw say, somebody failed that he still won the race, no matter what happens to you in life. Wait. Are you forgetting that you're a minister of the gospel? This is peak performance. Life coach. So you don't do those kind of things. Talk God's words. The people are using an example. You don't even know whether Genesis is the first book or Revelation or is in the middle. So that means they didn't require your preaching to do what they did. How come you now think it's your preaching that will make us do what they did? You don't get my point. The person you are talking about did not require your preaching to do what he did. Why do you think I will need your preaching? In fact, if I really want to do what he did, I will not listen to you. Praise God. Not like the man that wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad. This guy is a smart guy. Everybody was buying the book. And I asked somebody a question. So, did he read this book? Said he didn't. I said, he's practicing what he's writing in the book in your life. Alright, this is all, you must all read this one. Do you understand? So, why did I get here? Bail me out. I said, hey, so he said we should go and pray. I said, there's no need. Let's do it. The one Nikai will go there. So, as we got to do that, I said, this is a lie. So, my in-laws were looking, what will happen? They laughed the pastor, so I started dancing. So they just like, this guy is a rascal. Don't stress yourself. That's not the marriage. People that married in Dubai, they split up. Those who married in a hut, they are still together. Some people married in the jet. So what's all this for? Just fantasy. Something you saw in a cartoon. Say, oh yeah, let's kiss. Take it. It's in the air. Are you going to remain like that for 6 years? Will you not remove your mouth? You will now use the mouth to talk. If you have bad manners, you will talk rubbish out of that mouth. Oh. You have not trained yourself. You are training kissing. People get tired of kissing after a while, oh. Nobody can kiss for life. I've never even started. All those fantasies, you know, you are not doing the word, you are following Anyway. So, I said, let's dance. Let's dance and take the wife. One guy came to meet me today, I need counseling, sir. He said that we should, it's the same Nikai thing. When he was, he said, what do you want me to say? Just know, how do I go about it? He said, you want to go and steal her? He said, hey, go and dance. He said, if he's to wear hijab, wear it. Would they ask you to wear it on Sunday? He said, no, it's just that Saturday. Endure this. This is the way it was. You see, we don't major on the minor. The real issue you are not facing, you are facing pictures. Pictures? There are pictures you put on Facebook that they went to remove themselves. When the whole thing scattered, they will remove the thing themselves. There's one woman I was telling, I said, but you said, she put it in one way, say, you are my James Bond. I said, but you said, my life makes no meaning. He said, don't leave that. I said, I didn't write it. I said, but the thing is, I now said in my own mind, because if I say it out, you'll get angry. I said, when you call a man James Bond? My knight in shiny armor. Do you know who knights are? Okay. Let's do the word though. All this was. Anyway, let's look at fundamentals. Because these are early relationships. You get it? Outside Solomon, do you know that there's nowhere in the Bible do we hear about romance? And Solomon is a bad teacher. We don't even know who he was talking about. When he says, my fair lady, my this, which among them, sir? A friend of mine used to say that the guy just has a general scope for each of them. There are some guys that have the same lines. Your baby, my heart was beating fast when it met you. On its own, it started to beat normally. You are the so-so and so. Yeah. Is that not what you told? So some of them had the same lines, maybe. So, Adam and Eve. We don't have details in that relationship. First relationship amongst men was Adam and Eve. Again, like we like to say, Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, and not Eve and Evelyn. You know. So, and Adam and Eve were mentioned again by Paul in 1 Timothy chapter. Like I said, we have no details except the fact that the woman was tempted. 1 Timothy chapter 2, then quickly, verse 13. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if she continues in faith, and charity, and holiness, and sobriety. So, he mentions an historical fact. We don't even have a detail. Just mention the fact that Adam and Eve was deceived, Adam was not, she was in the transgression. And that's all. So that means the next thing we'll probably look at, the next explicit relationship. So we don't have much explicit relationship amongst the two of them. We don't have details. So the only thing we have again is they've been discussed in the sin triangle. That's all. So we really don't have much to say about Adam and Eve. Though I think some people use their, I'm not trying to put anybody down, just by the way, using marital programs, Adam and Eve. Kind of find it funny. Adam and Eve. Anyway, the next set of people will be Cain and Abel, and I think we want to focus on that. Cain and Abel were brothers. Okay? Now, in Cain and Abel, besides what happened in Genesis 3, in Cain and Abel, we saw the first open appearance of sin in human conduct. That is what had happened. We saw it in human conduct. I want you to observe some detail. Now, both of them brought an offering, each. And then unto verse 4 says, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. And unto Cain and to his offering, he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. So he was angry. So, a first no that we can see in relationship is this. I think I've taught this many times. It's anger. Anger is so vital. Now, let me quickly add this. He got angry, and he was not angry with his brother. Now, listen to this. It shows that, and hear this very well. This is really why we are in this meeting. You must never be afraid of conflicts. Conflicts will always arise in relationships. In fact, always. A man once said that he and his wife has never had an argument. And I said, it's either the woman was a fool, or she was in, though the man was lying. Was just lying. I can't imagine someone having an argument. How? Who did you marry? Or, better thing, what did you marry? So, for even for something Abel did not do, he didn't do anything to him. He just had a problem. And then, he was angry. God asked him, why are you angry? Why is your countenance, why is it falling? At that point, he had not seen. Are you following me? We all have, you know, in counseling people, in looking at my life myself, I said, we all, you cannot have the same reaction all the time. You are not a robot. The people sometimes just go, why the, you know. Now, what happened to Cain was that he was now led by the anger. You must always control it. He was led by the anger. What did he do? He went ahead and talked with his brother. Okay, please follow this. He talked with his brother and he killed him. Do you notice that there is a consistent sibling rivalry in the Bible? Cain and Abel, Jacob and Esau, Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Numbers 21. It's consistent. Sibling rivalry. We'll look at that one later. Numbers 12, I meant, not 21. It's there. So do not expect, don't have an overrated expectation of your siblings. Okay? Now, look at how John explains that scenario. Look at 1 John 3. So this is our first template of natural relationships. The first thing we saw is that a conflict arose. Conflict will always arise. You can't do it. You describe that everything we're going to learn is how to resolve them. It all arises. There's no. If you are in a relationship with somebody and you're not married and everything is so smooth, you are just postponing the evil day. You are. Yes. Look at this. 1 John 3. 3. While the writer of Hebrews picked out faith, which is true, John brings out a detail in verse 12. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew his brother? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. And we know that we are passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He that loves not his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. Notice what he calls it, a murderer. And he knows that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he had laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Please pay attention to this. So, he identifies two things in his family. A family, they grew up together. He identifies hatred and love. So, be hatred is possible in a family. Say again, anger is possible in a family. So, don't be shocked if you see anger. It's possible. Esau and Jacob. So, This will make me say this quickly now. I'm underlining it. The love of God for us. Now look at it. God's love for us. Because we can't picture love outside God. So God's love for us is also to be mirrored into our love for others. So God's love for us is the how. It runs through all our relationships. God's love for us runs through all our relationships. I've asked a question in several meetings today, these days, and I said, show me a church that teaches walking in love. I've asked that question, and nobody has been showing me anymore. When we have not even accepted God's love for us, how can we know how to love us? So, the love of God for us is the how of all relationships. Whether it's father and sons, coming to that, brothers, husband and wife, master and servant. You will see the love of God remains how we treat those relationships. Kevin will say that while we don't have specifics, some people can come up and say, what if my wife does this? What if my husband? You know, you can begin to create scenarios. There's this rule law, he always applies, and it has helped me think as well. You say, you should ask yourself, what would the love of God do? What would the love of God do in that scenario? What would the love of God do? Now, look at James 1 about anger. Thing about anger is that outside the faith, anger is seen as a positive thing in many terrains. That, well, the guy just, it's like a positive emotion in many places. But look at James 1:19. James 1:19 says, wherefore my beloved men be swift, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. Then he says, slow to what?
Wrath.
For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. So, he moved from anger, that is Cain, he now went to murder. So put this down. Uncontrolled anger is unpredictable. Did I repeat myself? Uncontrolled anger is unpredictable. If you are, let me just say this quickly. Whether, if you are going to start a family, which means you are going to get married to a woman and have kids, it is an area of your life you must watch closely, is anger. And anger is not justifiable. Say it in any way. You have to look at that area. There's an area of your life you have to look at very well. Not from any other angle, but because you are a believer. Uncontrolled anger is unpredictable. Am I making sense? Is unpredictable. So, let me repeat myself. In blood relationships with scriptures, there are always squabbles, conflicts. Cain and Abel. Do you know even Noah and his kids? Genesis 9. Noah and his children. He cursed his own kids. Why? Because one of them, he got drunk, Noah. In verse 21. So he was naked. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth, Genesis 9:23, took a garment and laid it upon their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward and they saw not their father's nakedness. Noah woke up from his and knew what his younger son had done unto him. He said, cursed be Canaan. Now, what do you call this? Anger. Cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth. He shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Parenting. Not a parenting. What did you see in him? Anger. Some people call their kids stuff. Why did you say that? You were very, very angry. Imagine telling your own child, a child that is growing up, are you blind? Why should you say that? Out of anger. I'm wondering whether I can say that to your colleague at work or your boss. Are you not blindly receive a query or a sack? So probably I just taking advantage of the fact that your first father. So there are things. Was anger. And what did the guy do? He saw your nakedness. Someone said there's nothing symbolical about it. The man was just angry. That was all. The symbolism there is that he saw his spiritual. You know, create a revelation that whenever you see his common spiritual, there's nothing spiritual about it. The man was plainly angry. Did you ever see Jesus say, because some people said anything, and then there is Easter? In fact, the epistles tell us that it ought not to be so. James says you cannot curse and bless. Where is his curses? Where are they coming from? Say there's strife and confusion and every evil work. So from the strife in the heart of Noah came every evil work. He just gave resources for the devil to act. That's what he did. And because your children look up to, there was just like what Peter did to Ananias and Sapphira, there will be fear. And the reason why the thing will work is not because of any other thing, but because of the authority you wield over your children, so that they believe you. Hallelujah. That's why. So look at the kind of anger. So you can't afford anger, whether you are husband, wife, whether you are a father, any of the above, you can't afford anger. Am I making sense here? You can't afford anger. You have to deal with anger. Do you also know, I said there are always squabbles. There will be squabbles between brothers. There will be squabbles and conflicts between siblings, you said that. And then even parents. Even husband and wife. The great Abraham and the wonderful woman called Sarah. An interesting woman. Genesis 16, she said, I have a housemaid called Hagar. I said, behold, I said, I don't have kids. She said, go into my maid, so I can obtain children by her. So that happened. Then in verse 4, Hagar conceived. And then look at what happened to, look at what Sarah said in verse 5. My wrong be upon you. She's talking to her husband though. I have given my maid unto your bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her. Said, the Lord judged between me and you. So it's, that thing is historical. So when Peter said she called him Lord, it's because the new covenant does not count sin. Sarah was a vindictive woman. Not, you say, not, no long thing. Do you understand? Then look. God judged. And the man just said, you know, like a typical African man, hey, don't worry, your wife. She's your mate. Do as it be. The Bible says she dealt hardly with her. She fled from her face. Picture that today. Are we? Was there anger there? She even spoke roughly to her husband. She asked him to go and commit the adultery. What do you call it? Huh? Ministry. So again, so you can see that that happened between both of them, husband and wife. Lot and his daughters, a very bad one. Chapter 17. Not 17. Chapter 19, sorry. Very terrible one. They went to sleep with their father. No, let's read it. Then I mentioned sibling rivalry. Numbers 12. Very funny one. Moses and his siblings. Miriam and Aaron. They said, are you the only one that God? And they spoke in anger. Now, listen carefully. A major factor in relationships is how you handle your emotions. How do you handle your emotions? I was talking to a couple, both ministers. When I heard what the wife said to the husband, said, when I finish with you, you will see money, you call it paper. Now the God I serve, I'll make sure that you are so poor. This is a woman that preaches. So she now said to me that he slapped her. I said, what should he have done? Advise me. If you tell somebody, I will destroy you. What were you expecting? I love you with the love of God. I'm not saying what he did was right. I'm just asking, because you can't do something carnally and expect a spiritual response. And I said, sister, how did that word come out of your mouth? It takes a lot to say such words out. African magic, new. I'm not joking, no. Those qualifying words are not in the Bible. You know, that kind of person has fed her mind. How did it come out of your mouth? Child of God. How? What were you listening to? You know, those are not. What were you listening to? Now, assuming you heard it in bus, in BRT, for you to think about that means you enjoyed it. How did it come out of your mouth? Someone called. So, how can you look at your son, somebody you gave, and you say, this is, God said, this is my beloved son. And you call your own son. I can't even say it. He said, that's how your parents brought you up. Are you happy about the kind of person you are? Is that not why you are saying the same thing? If you are brought up properly, you won't say that to your children. Sorry, it's backhand. If your parents spoke well to you, you will say the same thing to your children. It's because you didn't hear the right words growing up. That is why you are reproducing it. I said to my parents, I said, did God say that to you? He said, no. Did God say it to you? No. I said, did God say it to you? Don't you do wrong? You. Wrong. You are wrong. Yes, he calls you sanctified. He calls you, he says you are accepted in the beloved. And you go all over the place and say, it's not what I do, it's what Christ has done. You know how to say that. Then you hold your children for what they do. I'm not there, that's tomorrow. So, you can see anger. You have to watch your emotions. Let me say something. Well, any relationship you are in, you are going to give account. You must glorify Jesus. When your culture comes in conflict with Christ, Christ must be glorified. Hallelujah. No matter what your neighbors are saying about it, it makes no difference. I said, woman of God, where did you get those words from? Please give me the chapter and verse. Have you seen some people? You do that, hey, Christian, no? He's not in the mirror of the word. And they begin to say words. You know, it's in a movie. And the man says, like this. It's worldly influence. So you watch your emotions and you watch it and watch it very, very well. I wrote to her, I said, nothing happens supernaturally. Men are in relationships and they determine relationships. You will determine the relationship. Nothing will determine. There was a couple I was speaking with years back. The wife was a deaconess, the husband wasn't. And so, the kind of things they did are unfathomable. When the woman who was a member of our ministry, I said was, when she told me what she did, she poured the food on the man's head. And in the fellowship, she'll be worshiping and singing. Prophecy, Boko, Baka, Eka, Malagaga. Ah. You are not edified though. I said, hey. You know, I went there. If you didn't remember, but the mother was she didn't get in the church, but she used to attend that. So I went there Sunday evening. Because I used to go there to minister and I'd forgotten what we should do there. So the man said, when he started talking, I looked at her. She looked down. She was still shaking like this. My own was that I don't want something on my own head too. So I just said, when he look at me, I just said, you know, the love of God. You know, I ran out of the thing here. Praise God. Then he see some children, the way they taught their prayer. My wife, you know, she and her dad had a discussion. The dad didn't want her to be in another ministry. So she came for a meeting. That was years ago. About 18 years ago. She now told me, my dad doesn't want me to do ministry. When she told me what she told the father, that Jesus, God is my father, Jesus is, I said, she was disappointed. I said, you wrote it. She said, I wrote it. You just didn't say it. So it is written.
say, Chai.
How can you say that? And expect the man to pray for you.
And Jesus is my father. God is my father. Jesus,
I have the call of God for my life. I will fulfill the call of God no matter what. You know, sometimes we say those things unnecessarily. They are not fighting you, but you create a fight in your mind. I must do the will of God. I must do the will of God. I must do the will of God.
And most of his problem, you are bringing the problem to the pastor. Because the God that is your father is a human being. I told somebody, how much food can raving bring? Raving. How many widows can feed you?
I don't think you understand what I'm saying.
You have to watch your emotion. Some watching is even careful, commercial watching. You think deeply. You are on that level, you are saying, I will be fine. A 6-year course is too early to be fine.
We'll look at all that tomorrow. Amen. Where was I? So men determine relationships. There is no supernatural relationship in that context. You will determine it. What did you do? What you see, every relationship turns out the way you acted in it. Every relationship. The way you are. That's why I'm always very sorry for those who get married fighting everybody. They will fight when they get married. They fight the church, they fight the pastor, they fight. So we fight the family. Except it's extreme. I always tell people, don't fight your family to marry. It's not necessary. I told the couple, I said, you can learn from the kind of conflict they have with you. You can learn the love walk. You can mature. Don't fight this one, fight that one, fight this one. You will now face yourselves. See? Oh, that's how you took me from my parents. That's how you, it's going to happen. You don't need it. Praise God. Okay. So, relationships are men determined. Don't forget that. You will determine it. A relationship is what you do. What did you do? Praise God. The same way, write this down and never forget. Culture is man-made. Jesus calls them the commandments of men. Culture is man-made. There is no culture that came from heaven outside the fruit of the Spirit. So culture is man-made. You must never forget this. Culture is man-made. Hallelujah. Good. Culture is man-made. Men. The way Paul taught it, I'm running too close now. The way Paul taught it and the way Jesus taught it, both lets us see that it's man-made. And don't forget that the law of Moses had a lot of things that were cultural, mode of dressing, what you mean. It's man-made. And God, listen carefully, God gave us just one culture. It's in our spirit. I'll mention this, like I think I've mentioned this to you many times. One of the conflicts that we have in marriages is this. And I've taken it up with some dear ministers of the gospel, pastors, some of them are elders. And I said, why is it that there's something we are not correcting? When we want to get married, they have three different occasions, sometimes four. that they go through. They go for court registry. Because I'm a lawyer, I know what that is. They now go, they do traditional, which is, depends on your culture, you know, and all that, whether from the south, east, or west. They now do church. Three different cultures. They are not the same. So many people have a conflict. There is a legal thing. There is a societal, then there is church. Church is the most indefinite, undefined. They can't say this is exactly what it is. Because many times, even when they want to cancel you in church, they cancel you either legally or culturally. Yet, what I read to you this evening is the culture. As Christ loved the church. Because that's the only culture we have. It's in our spirit. Am I making any sense here? So, it's always a conflict. Now, let me quickly talk about this. Prayer cannot change anything in your marriage or relationship. Love cannot. Faith cannot. Only men change things. Relationships change through men. So, the man will use the love, the man will use the prayer, and the man will use the faith. Nothing will change until the man changes. Nothing. Nothing. Men will receive and now change. So any kind of relationship. Siblings. Parental. Marital. Men will change things. Hallelujah. Because relationships are about men. God couldn't stop Cain. You know, God talked to him and he did what he wanted to do. He did what he wanted to do. God couldn't stop Adam and Eve. Not that he didn't want to stop them. No. He couldn't. God cannot do everything. No. Not that he doesn't want to. Mm-mm. He cannot. God cannot do all things. Don't say, but it's God. That's why it's God. It's not God because he can do all things. He cannot sin. Not that he doesn't want to. Are you following my point? He can't do evil. Not that he doesn't want to. So don't think that God will now come and use, you just come and twist your will. And then you will make relationships work. Whether with your children, whether with your husband, your wife, you will make it work. Let me say this. As I close, gradually. There are so many problems that I often see. They are man-made. They can be man-rectified. Hallelujah. They are man-made. It's man that will rectify. See, the greatest challenge in humanity was sin. You know, it was man that solved it. Is that not true? It was man who rectified it. You know what is God that became, whether God that became a man, it was still man. You will have to rectify it. You'll have to, if it's marriage, if it's parental, you will have to rectify it. Some parental issues, and I'm going to recommend a series to everybody. The New Creation and His Relationships. I think it's about 12 sessions. Is it 12 or 13? 12 sessions. 2010 or so. I thought it was 11. 12. 12 sessions. 2012. The New Creation and His Relationships. I think it's available. Is it online? It's online. I also copy it. And His Relationships. I think we dealt with virtually every relationship. Father and mother, all those relationships were captured. You need to know how the new creation works in those relationships. Employee, employer, I think everything like that. Your nation and yourself, you know, you as an employer, you as an employee, everything I from the epistles though. I didn't bring any philosopher's thoughts. You know, I don't do it. What does the scriptures teach? How are you supposed to relate with your husband? You know, the issue of a pet name, nickname, blah, 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 was resolved there. What does the word say? So, in relationships generally, know that they are man or men determined. They are men determined. And so, you have a duty to ask yourself, in this relationship, myself and my husband, because I also going to look at premarital relationships, myself and my husband, myself and my kids, what is the role I have played? Sometimes we spend time, some people going to pray. We shouldn't ask them to pray. We should ask them to hear God's word. The more you pray in ignorance, the worse the problem becomes. You see, something that takes knowledge and you went to pray, it worsens. Because you are praying in disobedience. You should take a hold of God's word and act upon it. Have you acted on God's word? There was one conflict the folks had, ministry-wise. They were fighting themselves. So I said, we are praying. I said, you know what you are going to do? I said, what, sir? I said, go to that particular ministry. It was a campus, an organization. I said, go there and tell them that, you know what? Whatever you want us to do, we will do. I said, that's the day you will destroy that enmity. He now went. So as they got there, they were so unsettled. They didn't know what to say again. What did you just say? I said, whatever you want to do. I said, we'll get back to you. And that was it. I said, you can determine things. Before now, it was an ego thing. No, I won't call you. I won't. I will never call. I will not call. I can't. Why can't you call? I cannot call. I've forgiven you. I've forgiven him. I've forgotten. But I cannot call. Why are you lying? I saw someone post on Facebook and I laughed. That you can forgive people without reconciling with them. Don't bring them close to you. I said, this is very devilish. Is that what God did to you? He forgave himself, oh, hey, boss. When there is no reconciliation, there is no forgiveness of sins. Someone told me, I've forgiven my wife, my husband, but then we cannot say, you've not forgiven. You have not forgiven. No, I have, Pastor, I have sincerely from my heart, I'm telling you, from my whole heart, because it's my heart, God is seeing your heart and I can see it. So, relationships are what? Man determined. Who determines relationships? I do. We do. And we'll see tomorrow that no matter how Christian you are, relationships will keep having conflicts. You must understand conflict resolution. It's something you will learn a lot. You have to know. Parental, husband, you must understand it. See, get ready for your kids to say no to you. And don't feel bad about it. Get ready for your child to say, no, I'm not doing it. Now, I'm a young friend, okay? My son will have a discussion. I said, I want you to go to this school. He said, I'm not going. I said, I was picturing myself and my father. Who bombed me? He still defaults. Even who are you? The best I did was go and take photograph. That's where he needed me. He took my picture, put it there, and wrote it in school. This guy was telling me, I don't want to go to this school. It was secondary school. He said, I'm not going to NTIC. I said, but it's a good school. He just said something that amazed me. He said, but it's my decision to make. I'm going there. I feel like, You know, that Ososati wanted to come out of me. I said, well, you are right. However, I can counsel you. He said, you have been doing that all along. And I have told you, I'm not going there. I said, fine. I'm getting used to it. It's easier, he says it to your face, than to do it in rebellion. Because many of us here, we know what I'm saying. get ready for your children to say no. And you will say, except if my father said, if I didn't give back to you, I said, I did not determine it. Did I ask you to be my father? You know? Very terrible argument you have. So, get ready. Do you understand? I don't want. Don't say, why should you not want? You are bringing the way you were brought up, which is not in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are here today. Did you not come on your own? Let's go between you and God. All manner. So quickly, so tomorrow, what we're going to look at it is this. We will look at varieties of these conflicts interfamily, intrafamily, premarital. And then we'll look at how to handle culture. I'll say it again. Interfamily, intrafamily, premarital conflicts. We'll learn something from scripture. Okay? Then we'll look at handling culture, then parenting. So basically what we are learning, that's why I referred you to the New Christian Relationships. What we are learning is about conflict resolution. How do we resolve conflicts? If you learn how to resolve conflicts, you will build very healthy relationships. One of the things we never admit is that you did not marry yourself. You get it. Your son is not you. Your dad is not you. In fact, be honest with yourself. If you married yourself, you'll have fought yourself. If you were the one who married you. Because sometimes you are angry with yourself. You'll have slapped yourself. That's a fact. So, we'll look at it. So, the first session will be about marriage and parenting. The second will be premarital. And then postmarital thing. Some things happen, that people need to know how to handle postmarital things. Men make relationships. Okay? If someone says he's not married to John again, there's nothing you can do about it. It's gone. Don't say, it must not happen. It has happened. So, we should relate with realities. What should we do? Hallelujah. Then, question and answers, they will deal with things like culture, and so on and so forth. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, in closing, the basic thing is this. Why do we have the love of God? Look at 1 Corinthians 13. They will just close there quickly. 1 Corinthians 13. Hope you learned something. Okay. Very basic. It is love, in verse 4, suffers long, it's kind, it envies not, it doesn't vaunt itself, it's not puffed up. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5 says, it does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not our own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Now, it looks vague, but that is about people. So everything there, just related with someone, Lord believes the best about so and so person. Bears it with so and so person. He's kind to so and so person. Amen. Suffers long towards so and so person. He's patient towards so and so person. Does not envy so and so person. Does not want itself against so and so person. That's how it is. And I know something. Sometimes, in my observation, and I believe it's true, we often think that people that are close to us are not the people we walk in love towards. Oftentimes we don't look at them because they are so, there's an emotional sentiment, just like faith. Have you discovered that you can use faith for every other person but people close to you? People close to you just get emotional. Because they are getting sentiment. It's the same with love. Because it's your husband, your wife, your children, because it's your dad, you now will not apply the same principles of love or faith. If your child is going wayward, it's not new. There are people in scripture that had funny kids and it turned out well. Jacob was one of such kids. and he has such gifts. Hallelujah. So it's all about faith and love. Praise God. You will surround people with faith and love. It's your husband. Your husband has been acting funny of late. Your wife has been. You can actually walk in love and by faith towards him. Praise God. And not get emotional. We get too emotional about people close to us. And we don't walk in the spirit towards them. Praise God. Are you blessed? Amen.